During one discussion, Schrödinger called the whole idea of quantum jumps a sheer fantasy. But it does not prove that there are no quantum jumps, Bohr countered. All it proved, he continued, was that we cannot imagine them. Emotions soon ran high. You can't seriously be trying to cast doubt on the whole basis of quantum theory, asked Bohr. Schrödinger conceded there was much that still needed to be fully explained, but that Bohr had also failed to discover a satisfactory physical interpretation of quantum mechanics. As Bohr continued to press, Schrödinger finally snapped. If all this damned quantum jumping were really here to stay, I should be sorry I ever got involved with quantum theory. But the rest of us are extremely grateful that you did, Bohr replied. Your wave mechanics has contributed so much to mathematical clarity and simplicity that it represents a gigantic advance over all previous forms of quantum mechanics. After a few days of these relentless discussions, Schrödinger fell ill and took to his bed. Even as his wife did all she could to nurse their houseguest, Bohr sat on the edge of the bed and continued the argument. But surely, Schrödinger, you must see. He did see, but only through the glasses that he had long worn, and he was not about to change them for ones prescribed by Bohr. There had been little, if any, chance of the two men ever reaching a concord. Each remained unconvinced by the other. No real understanding could be expected since, at the time, neither side was able to offer a complete and coherent interpretation of quantum mechanics, Heisenberg later wrote. Schrödinger did not accept that quantum theory represented a complete break with classical reality. As far as Bohr was concerned, there was no going back to the familiar ideas of orbits and continuous paths in the atomic realm. The quantum jump was here to stay, whether Schrödinger liked it or not. As soon as he arrived back in Zurich, Schrödinger recounted Bohr's really remarkable approach to atomic problems in a letter to Wilhelm Wien. He is completely convinced that any understanding in the usual sense of the word is impossible, he told Wien. Therefore, the conversation is almost immediately driven into philosophical questions, and soon you no longer know whether you really take the position he is attacking or whether you really must attack the position that he is defending. Yet, despite their theoretical differences, Bohr and especially Heisenberg had behaved in a touchingly kind, nice, caring, and attentive manner, and all was totally cloudlessly amiable and cordial. Distance and a few weeks had made it seem less of an ordeal.